Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's our fall membership drive. More about that in a moment. But first, just 3 weeks until Election Day and lots to talk about. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump has been in something of a free fall after revelations of a 2005 video of him bragging about sexually assaulting women. Lost in that controversy, meanwhile, another series of Clinton campaign emails published by WikiLeaks, and the Trump campaign has disavowed the Ohio Republican Party. What does it all mean? We asked veteran political journalist and host of Ken Rudin's Political Junkie podcast to join us with the answers. Welcome back, Ken Rudin.
Good morning, Ann Fisher.
You're listening to 89.7 NPR News and All Sides with Ann Fisher. It is our fall membership drive. Remember, listener support is the foundation of our budget. Please make your gift right now at WOSU.org or by calling 1-866-897-9678. I know there's a lot of you out there who have questions for Ken Rudin. You've been waiting for this, and we welcome those questions. I'll give you that number in just a second. But before you make that call, make this call, 1-866-897-9678. Or go online to WOSU.org. This show today about presidential politics, and every Monday we have our weekly reporters roundtable. And this hour, we have a thank you gift that is perfect for the news junkies listening right now. Make a gift of $19 a month as a sustainer, and you'll get a one-year digital subscription to the New York Times. Enjoy unlimited, anytime, anywhere access to all New York Times content, including breaking news, reviews, opinion blogs, and videos. And your subscription can be accessed on any smartphone, tablet, or web browser. It's a perfect complement to everything you hear on 89.7 NPR News. Make a gift of $19 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $228. Visit WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. And Ken Rudin, do you think that the New York Times will still be around after Donald Trump sues them?
There is an assault on the Fourth Estate, absolutely. There is an assault on media that, you know, we've had presidential candidates and even presidents in the past who have gone to war with the media, but I have never, ever seen a candidate or campaign that is so aimed directly at freedom of the press. No.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in reporters' clusters at different campaign events. I remember Dan Quayle was particularly vitriolic against the media, but we never said anything. We never did anything because it wasn't a sustained assault. Now, this is different.
Right. I mean, exactly. Look, we remember in 1968, 69, then candidate for vice president, then vice president Spiro Agnew went after the media. You mentioned Dan Quayle. Look, Barack Obama has done a lot about limiting press freedoms. So it's not only a Republican issue. But
right.
Again, to see a candidate just bar the media from his rallies, even more importantly, the fear and the fomenting fear. But you hear the kind of rhetoric you hear at rallies about the press and about, you know, they're part of the rigged establishment out to get us. It puts his campaign basically as us against them, and that's not helpful, especially if you're a reporter trying to do your job and cover the campaign.
Do you think it fundamentally changes how a campaign's covered?
Well, you know something, I don't know that for a fact. I think reporters still try to be fair, but I do think that it's been a very fascinating year and a half watching how the media cover Donald Trump's campaign, because in the beginning, he's a celebrity, he's The Apprentice, he's really not going to win, but it's so much fun to watch. And even as he was saying his incendiary things about women and Muslims and Latinos and the handicapped, the press still did its thing as if what he was saying was you know, normal. Now it seems like it's the complete opposite. They are using the L word, liar, which I've never, ever seen in campaign coverage before, that he's saying his things about whatever the press is doing or whatever's going on in the world or whatever Hillary Clinton is doing. And the press is saying, well, this is just not true. And many media operations, many newspapers have their own Trump Truth Watch. And again, I've never, ever seen anything like this.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. My guest is Ken Rudin, veteran political journalist, host of Ken Rudin's Political Junkie. And we had him on last spring as well. And the conversation hasn't changed much now that, as predicted at that point, Donald Trump has taken the Republican nomination for president. If you have a question or comment from Ken Rudin, give us a call, 614 292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You've been listening to our weekly Reporters Roundtable for months on end. We've talked about all of this ad nauseum because, of course, Ohio is a critical state. Even though it maybe has lost a little bit of its luster, it's still a huge critical state with plenty of electoral votes that matter very much. All right. Now, Ken Rudin, first of all, have you ever heard of a national political campaign disavowing a state party, any state party?
No. I mean, you know, so I can remember, you know, you could go back to 1964 and the antipathy that Barry Goldwater had for the establishment Republicans and vice versa. Goldwater was the outside of the Republican Party then, was not a conservative party, was more of an Eisenhower-Nixon moderate party. And there were battles between Goldwater and Republican officials like Nelson Rockefeller of New York or George Romney of Michigan or William Scranton of Pennsylvania. But having said that, it just seems like from the beginning that Donald Trump, for all his attacks on crooked Hillary and illegal Obama, you know, because we don't know where he was born, because we went through that facade for a year. But now, I mean, he spent so much time going after Republicans, going after individual Republicans, and now, you know, going after the Republican parties of certain states like Ohio, the crucial state of Ohio, which is ridiculous because Ohio is one of Trump's best chances of picking up a seat that's gone for President Obama in the last two elections.
Exactly. What's the significance at this point in the game that they disavow themselves? I mean, what do you think it matters one way or the other in Ohio?
Well, I mean, obviously, the both sides are still, you know, I've seen a lot of national reports saying that, well, maybe Ohio has lost its luster. Maybe it's not the bellwether it used to be. But I don't understand why. I mean, it's still, I mean, you know, not only the old line that no Republican has won the presidency without Ohio, no candidate has been elected without Ohio in every election since 1960. I mean, Kennedy won the election, but Nixon won Ohio. Ever since then, the Buckeye State has picked a winner every time. So I don't know. I mean, given the demographics in Ohio, given what you know, the different kinds of demographics, the voting groups, Ohio is still a top prize. And you know, both sides are obviously fighting everything they can to win it over. I can't imagine Trump winning the presidency without Ohio because, basically, if you look at the last couple of elections, last bunch of elections, maybe going back to 2008, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Florida are the three keys. And if you don't win two of those states, you're not going to go to the White House in January.
This talk of a rigged election, you know, Nate Silver said that, you know, it could work against him because it could lower turnout at the polls.
Well, there's two ways of looking at it. You could make the case that both sides are so disgusted what they've heard and what they've seen so far, and the last debate is a perfect example of that. They could say that, well, it's just so disheartening that we'll just stay home in November. But there's also the argument that if you detest Hillary Clinton that much, and if you detest Donald Trump that much, and polls show that there is deep distrust of both candidates, probably a record amount of distrust for the both candidates, you can make the case that, well, just like the 84 million people who tuned into the first debate, maybe it will be a record turnout. But, Ann, I kind of think that there'll be more discouragement than there will be encouragement. And also, you know, you see all these polls that show that Donald Trump supporters are not going to waver no matter what happens. Remember the famous quote of Donald Trump said that I could be on Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody in the middle of the street,
right,
and my support would not diminish. There is that sense. And on the other hand, you see some disheartening comments from Clinton supporters about just the state of the race. So you just wonder who's going to turn out. But I in answer to this is, by the way, the longest sentence I've ever said in my life. But in answer to that question, which I think you asked me 45 minutes ago, is that I just think that there's just so much at stake. There will be a big turnout.
You know, the good news is we still have 45 minutes left with Ken Rudin. It's a special occasion. We don't get them very often. Ken Rudin, veteran political journalist, host of Ken Rudin's Political Junkie podcast. We'd love to hear from you if you have questions for Ken. That number is 614-292-8513, or you're welcome to email us at allsides@wosu.org. org. Remember, though, it's listener-supported 89.7 NPR News, and this is All Sides with Ann Fisher. And today we're asking you to support the conversations we bring you every day. We've worked hard to bring you interesting people, and our conversations are in-depth. Many times we talk to a guest for an entire hour, just like Ken. You only find that on public radio. Support 89.7 NPR News at WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. And this is a very special time to become a member because for this hour only, we have political junkie Ken Rudin on the air. And for $9 a month as a sustainer, you can get all access pass to the New York Times crossword puzzles. Play the daily, mini, and weekend crossword puzzles, plus access 20 years worth of archives. Start a puzzle on your computer, finish it later on your tablet or phone. That's an all-access annual pass to the New York Times crossword puzzles for $9 a month at WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. And thanks to Sue Beth Zartman in Columbus for your support. Thanks so much, Sue. We appreciate it. Now you can just sit back and relax and listen to Ken Rudin tell us what the deal is with presidential politics this year. 1-866-897-9678. And let's go to a call. Mark in Clintonville, you're on the air. Hi, Mark.
Hi. I have a question. If someone were to take telephoto lens pictures of people undressed in their homes through a window, would it be ethical for the press to publicize those photos?
My argument would be absolutely not, but I know obviously you're leading to something bigger, aren't you?
Yes, I am, and that is, why is that different from publicizing the hacked emails?
Well, that's a great question. You notice that both of the big stories of the recent weeks of the campaign have both been the hacked emails of John Podesta, the Hillary Clinton campaign chief, and the tape of what Donald Trump probably thought was a private conversation with Billy Bush back in 2005, how he was proud, how he gropes women. Both of them were surreptitious. And look, you know, we've seen this in the past before. Remember in 2012. The surreptitious video of Mitt Romney talking about the 47% in the country. So that does happen. But basically, it's not a new phenomenon. I'm also going back to 1988 and Jesse Jackson with his comments about Jaimes and Jaimetown. Mm-hmm. That was a private conversation. I kind of think that when you're running for public office, and this is maybe says something bad about the system and the process, but I think there's no such thing as private conversations anymore. We've been learned, everybody's been learned, or taught, or thought to be taught over and over again, that you don't put these things, if you don't want to see things on the front page of the New York Times, you don't put them in an email. Now, I think it's deplorable. Not only are these private emails leaked, but it looks like they may be hacked by a foreign power. And the thought of Russia, of all countries, trying to elect a Republican president, if that is indeed the case, is bizarre. But I understand it. I don't like it. I don't like the fact that we are all vulnerable in what we say in private and what we say put in our emails. But I think that's the nature of the beast, and that's certainly the nature of the beast in 2016.
Mark, thanks a lot for that call. Again, if you have a question or comment for Ken Rudin, the number is 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Much has been made of the video recording of Donald Trump bragging about sexually assaulting women, and many have come forward in the last week to say that they have been victims of his alleged assaults. This is finally what moved the arrow for several Republican candidates. Ohio Senator Rob Portman was one of them. He explained his change of heart during a face-off endorsement interview with Ted Strickland at Cleveland.com last week. Let's listen.
I believe in this case, it's a personal decision on my part, that what he said was so offensive and so demeaning and degrading, specifically to women, that I could no longer support him.
Ken Rudin, whether it's the U.S. Senate race or the presidential race, you know, it seems like these revelations, these repudiations, don't seem to be making much of a difference one way or the other.
Well, they could. And the reason I say they could is because
Rob Portman knows as well as anybody, as well as any Republican knows, that when you disavow Donald Trump, you may also be alienating his supporters. And whatever you think about Donald Trump, he does have a committed cadre of supporters. So when you criticize Trump, do these Republicans retaliate by skipping your candidacy in November? That's a big, big risk. But to hear Rob Portman, I'm not singling out Portman, because this is a problem that Republicans have had at least since the release of the video of the 2005 video. But he says this is so offensive and so demeaning towards women. What about the things that Donald Trump has been saying for the past year and a half? What about the comments about Megyn Kelly and Carly Fiorina and Miss Universe? I mean, this is not such a new thing. We are not stunned to hear Donald Trump say these things, and of course the women coming forward. I think a lot of these women came forward because after the second debate, Donald Trump said these are all lies, these are not true, and these women say, well, it definitely is true. But to wait until now to say, boy, this has gone too far. There were some Democrats who will make the case that a lot of people should have reacted this way months ago when with the Khan family and again Miss Universe and all those other instances that he may have gone too far.
John in Columbus, you're on the air with Ken Rudin. Hi, John.
Oh, okay. You were talking about newspapers a bit ago. Mm-hmm. I don't read the some of these newspapers that you were talking about, but I do read the Columbus Dispatch, and they have been in the bag for Clinton right from the beginning, including any of the emails. They don't include them. They are way, way, way overboard, and they actually lie about some of the things that's going on. Some of the reporters do.
And, what do they lie about, John?
It's kind of upsetting. Ooh. Oh, off the top of my head, I don't have an instance, but they actually, I read the article and I just dismiss when they do that. Mm-hmm. They admit that they're left wing. So, if you try and say that the media in general is not for Clinton, I mean, it's a complete falsehood. I mean, they are very much so. And,
an example's always really helpful, John, but be that as it may, Ken Rudin, how do you respond? What do you make of this?
Well, if you're going to ask me, do I think more reporters lean Democratic than Republican? Absolutely. I've been in this business a long time, 8 years at ABC News, nearly 20 years at NPR. I know reporters inside and out, and I think most times they do lean Democratic. That's absolutely true. But if you look at 2016, for example, and if you look at previous years as well, but especially 2016, you're seeing newspapers like the Arizona Republic, which has never endorsed a Democratic candidate. You see the Detroit News. You see USA Today, which has never disavowed a candidate or endorsed a candidate. USA Today said there's absolutely no way we can endorse somebody like Donald Trump. Now, you could say, look, I understand John's argument, because the argument that the media are liberal has been around forever. But I think in 2016 there's a special case, because I don't think you ever have come up a candidate who has just spent all his time demeaning the media, putting distrust in the media, making it feel like the media are the enemy. And when you do that, you just put a us against them mood out there. And I don't know if John is part of that. Look, John, I understand liberal bias, and I understand that argument, and I think there's a lot absolute legitimacy to it. But when you have a candidate who, in at least the way I see it, who has contempt for civility, who has used language that I've never heard from a major party presidential candidate, it just becomes a different case altogether.
John, thanks a lot for that call. Appreciate your time today. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. If you have a question for our special guest today, Ken Rudin, veteran political journalist and host of Ken Rudin's Political Junkie. He just told you a little bit about his resume. He knows what he's talking about, and he shares his wisdom with us periodically on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks to Joanna Baker in Columbus for your pledge. She writes, "It's about time I donate." Yay, Joanna. Boy, I tell you, that feeling you get when you make that first donation. Now, Ken, do you remember the first time you ever donated to public media?
Well, you know something? I think it was to WOSU. Let me just interrupt for a second. I know there are a lot of people out there who say, oh, no, not another pledge drive. But I've been out to Columbus for WOSU for many, many times in the past. The crowds are enormous. The interest is enormous. It's not just a Democratic or a Republican thing. It's mm-hmm. both parties because they basically public radio will give you far more than here are the polls. Here is who's up and who's down. They talk to voters that we talk to about issues and I think WOSU, as you know, Ann, is one of my all time favorites. I've spent many hours at your studios. You had mm-hmm. to force me out sometimes, but I really appreciate hearing these people who are contributing to the show. And I understand, we're going back to the argument about a liberal media, but I think what public media does, and especially what WOSU does, is just that it brings the important information to the voters and then let them make their decision. But as you know, I'm a huge fan of WOSU.
This hour of All Sides is about presidential politics with the one and only political junkie Ken Rudin. Ken, as he says, he's been a good friend to All Sides and to WOSU for many years, and we're happy to have him with us this hour. I hope you are too. This is our fall membership drive. We have two great thank you gifts this hour. For $19 a month, get access to an annual subscription to the New York Times online. And your subscription can be accessed on any smartphone, tablet, or web browser. Check in on the news whenever you want without having to worry if you're used up those 10 clicks per month. I know I am a subscriber and I love it. And I also love how they can send you, you can get on listservs and they will send whatever they call them nowadays, and they'll send you updates. Your unlimited, anytime, anywhere access to the New York Times also gets you breaking news, reviews, opinion blogs, and videos. Make a contribution of $19 a month as a sustainer. Go to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. Or you can make a gift of $9 a month as a sustainer and get 12 months of an all-access pass to the New York Times online crossword puzzles. It includes the daily crossword and more than 20 years' work of archives. It's $9 a month for all device access to the New York Times crossword puzzles. Visit WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. Now, we're coming up to halfway mark of the show. We've had a few pledges, and we really, really appreciate those. And we're so glad that, for one person, it was their first time, because we all know that feeling. It feels really, really good. Why not make this your first time? Give what you can. If you can't afford $9 a month, if it's $20 a year, whatever it is, just get started. Once you get that foothold of membership in public media, you're never going to let go. And it can always be what you can afford, because that's how it works. It's what you can afford. Give us a call, 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. Now, I got to say, Ken, if Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump can raise between them about $260 million in 1 month, come on, people. We know it's out there. We know you've got it. Share a little bit of it with us and all the other people in the listenership of WOSU and 89.7 NPR News. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Let's go to another call. Kurt in Columbus. Hi, Kurt. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you, Ann, for taking my call.
Sure.
I'll put in my own plug. I've been a sustaining member for WOSU for a number of years now, and I really enjoy a lot of your programming. And I guess that'll kind of lead into my question.
Thank
I'm
you.
One of the very frustrated folks who cannot buy into either camp when it comes to the presidential election. But I find that the media conversation is on both sides. It's not all sides. There are third-party candidates. There are independent candidates that don't get coverage. And I just want to know why that is. Is the media responsible for holding these other ideas down if neither Republican nor Democrat can speak for many of its constituency?
Ken Rudin?
Well, I love that question. And the reason I love that question is because I've heard it for so many years, and the argument that you know, the famous George Wallace line that there's not a dime's worth difference between Democrats and Republicans. That may not be the case in 2016, but it's clear if you look at the polls, the disapproval numbers for Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are at record numbers. Whatever you think of the candidates, whether you like them or don't, you can't deny that there are serious flaws with both of them, and it's reflected in the polls. So one would think that if any year, this would be a great opportunity for a third-party candidate. You have Gary Johnson, who's the candidate of the Libertarian Party. You have Jill Stein, who's the candidate and the nominee of the Green Party. You'd think they would be doing better than they do. I think part of the problem is the fact that they are not involved in the debates. We know that Ross Perot in 1992 was the last third-party candidate who got into a debate, and because millions of Americans, tens of millions of Americans watched him in the debates, he did relatively well. He got 19% of the vote. He got 19 million votes. He didn't win any electoral votes, and of course that's the problem with third-party candidates, but he got had a say. Now, with the criteria being that you have to have an average of 15% of the polls to be included in a debate, as according to the Commission on Presidential Debates, the Johnsons and the Steins of the world are not getting in. And that's, you know, if you want an alternative voice, that's probably the best way to see them is through a debate. But sadly, I mean, sadly for those who want an alternative, you're not going to see it because it's not the media's fault. I mean, you could make the case that, well, maybe the media doesn't cover Gary Johnson the way it does Donald Trump. And when it does cover Gary Johnson, you hear about, you know, gaffes like, you know, what is Aleppo? So that's not good news for them. But for the most part, this is a two-party country, and until a third-party candidate shows greater support among voters, I think the coverage will be shown, you know, proportionally.
Kurt, thanks a lot for that call, and thanks a lot for your support of 89.7 NPR News. We really appreciate it. The number to call to make your show your support, 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. And now we're officially past the halfway mark, so I want to set a goal, 15 pledges by the end of the hour, 15 pledges of support for 89.7 NPR News. Be one of the 15. I really appreciate your support. Thanks to Allison Leroy and Caitlin Barr in Columbus for your support, 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678 to show your support for 89.7 NPR News right now. Turning now to Chris in Columbus. You're on the air. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was just going to make a comment on the media bias thing about it is very biased. Trump got $2 billion plus worth of free media time, and Clinton got over $1 billion, to whereas the third parties, like you guys said, they haven't really gotten anything, and the debates are run by the Presidential Campaign Commission, I think, but that's run in part by the head of the Republican and Democrat parties, and that's why they're keeping out the alternative voices. But it's really sad when you see in the media that the only things that you actually see are just the bad and the attacks, because nobody's actually talking about the issues. Anytime that I listen to Jill Stein speak, she speaks about the issues, to whereas Trump or Clinton just don't.
Ken Rudin?
Well, I mean, look, I think I understand that frustration. And ostensibly, the reason we have these presidential debates is because we'll hear what these candidates stand for. But when everything is about emails and lewd conversations about women and Hillary should be in prison and Bill Clinton slept with that one and this one and this one, you can't get much information out. Chris Wallace, who's going to be the moderator, Chris Wallace of Fox News, who's the moderator of the final debate. Oh, did I say final debate? Oh, thank you, God. Oh, I'm sorry.
this Wednesday, by the way.
Yeah, Wednesday, the 19th. He has 15-minute segments spread out into immigration, the debt, the Supreme Court, the economy, foreign policy, and the fitness to serve, which really should be an opportunity to talk about issues, but that we've seen, in at least in the two in the debate so far, that the candidates can talk about whatever they want and twist it to whatever spin they want, and so you could have all the meaning, you know, the good intentions of the journalist you have, but if the candidates want to launch into their attacks, many moderators don't exactly know what their role should be. Bob Schieffer has always said that the moderator should not be the story. He or she should let the candidates fight it out. So that's another quandary you have with the moderators as well.
I think Schieffer's point is well taken, except when they're fighting it out over anything but the issues.
Well, not only that, I mean, also, if you don't answer a question, I mean, if you go back and listen to that second debate, there are many, many instances where a question would be asked and the answer would never come. It would be off on a completely different subject. Mm-hmm. I mean, Saturday Night Live mocked that so beautifully last Saturday, I think, hence the term Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you just watch these moderators who say, look, you know, this debate is to help the American public learn about its candidates, and if you're not going to answer the question, I'm going to keep badgering you. And, again, that's not what the debate is supposed to be all about.
You know, Ken Rudin, though, feels like we're at a huge crossroads, and that to talk about military or domestic affairs, you know, foreign affairs, domestic affairs, kind of off top. What people are really thinking about is, where is the United States headed symbolically, spiritually, you know, going forward in the future? What are we made of? It seems like that is what it's come down to.
And that's basically, Ann, you just described really what the appeal of Donald Trump was from the beginning. There's a feeling out there that with all these jobs lost, people blaming trade deals for the loss of jobs, jobs being shipped overseas, your future, which was once seemed to be unlimited, your job security, which once seemed to be unlimited, that's no longer the case. You look at not only heads being chopped off by ISIS, you watch nonstop bombing, slaughter of civilians in Syria, and there's no American response to it. You see homegrown terrorism in places like San Bernardino. So this is what fueled Donald Trump to begin with. The fact is that government is not working, that our security, both economically and fear of what's going on abroad, is just, you know, running the show. And so I understand that fear, but again, if you try to go to the candidates and try to talk about what will change, what will you do? I mean, they have talking points and they have position papers, but it's hard to get through that, all that nastiness.
Thank you to Robert and Jane Cottrell in Columbus for your pledge of support for 89.7. And by the way, Chris, thanks a lot for that call. Thanks for your pledge of support to 89.7 NPR News. We appreciate your support. Once again, we have 14 pledges to go before the end of the hour. That's my goal, 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. Ken Rudin is a special event. He is just special. He's a special event today. We're bringing him out because it is our membership drive. We didn't want to, you know, completely walk away from politics. How could we? How could I? It's so great to have Ken with us today, but it's a special event, and we're doing it for you to keep the conversation going about politics, which is so important in Ohio. If you appreciate this, if this is the kind of program you care about, 1-866-897-9678 is the number to call. Show your support at whatever level you can. But remember, it's listener-supported 89.7 NPR News. Ready for a challenge? The New York Times crossword, edited by Will Shortz, offers the best word puzzles on the planet at $9 a month, a one-time gift of $108. You can get an all-access pass to the New York Times crossword puzzles. This is a first-time thing for us. I know the folks in our membership department have worked really, really hard to work something out on this score. New York Times is a great, great institution. I subscribe to it. It's something that I'm reading almost every day, if not every day. 1-866-897-9678. We need 14 pledges by the end of the hour, and we have just 21 minutes left in the hour with Ken Rudin. The more I ask, the less time I have to talk. So if you just roll those pledges in, takes 2 minutes, I can spend more time talking with Ken Rudin.
Can I interrupt for one quick second? I host the Political Junkie radio program, and I have this gorgeous, gorgeous convention pin that says Cleveland and Philadelphia on it from the Democratic and Republican conventions. I will anybody who donates to WSU $100, I will gladly send you them a convention pin, which is a gorgeous, gorgeous pin. It's almost impossible to get. But if anybody contributes $100 to WSU, I will gladly give them this rare, gorgeous, incredible political junkie convention pin. Now, I know we didn't talk about this in advance, and maybe I'm violating every rule in the book, but I think it's a gorgeous pin, and those who just love the political junkie and miss the political junkie, they can have that pin
yes.
to live with for the rest of their lives for only $100.
If nothing else comes out of this, you will have a pin, the political junkie pin.
Will Shorts is a nice guy and everything, and the New York Times crosswords is nice, but my God, a convention pin, my God.
Thank you, Ken Rudin. 1-866-897-9678. Take Ken up on this. It's awesome. We'll make it work. I'm sure people are heading into the studio right now to talk about this. Thank you, Ken. We really appreciate it. 1-866-897-9678 is a number to call to show your support right now. Let's do it right now. Don't wait. We have less than 20 minutes left, and I'm still looking for 14 pledges by the end of the hour. 14 pledges. Let's turn to some callers now. Jackie in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Jackie.
Hi. Thanks, Ms. Rudin. Thanks, Ann. Longtime listener, longtime sustainer.
Thank you.
Yes. What my thought here is if Trump loses, will he continue in politics? And that's all.
Okay. Jackie, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Oh, and I love that question, Jackie, because anybody who thinks the election is over on November 8th is mistaken. Right now, I suspect that when Donald Trump says this is a rigged election, that it's preordained, and he's also urging his supporters to not only after they vote to go to different polling places around the country to check to see if fraud is going on. And we all know what, wink, 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 we all know what kind of polling places he's talking about and what areas and neighborhoods he's talking about. So I think that if it's a rigged election, I mean, Mike Pence says, yes, of course, we'll concede when the election is over. I don't know if he concedes. I don't know. He may win. So, of course, he wouldn't concede if he wins. Mm-hmm. But the question is that this is not going to be over on November 8th. Trump doesn't go away. He still has, all accounts, between 40 and 45% of the American public. That is not Trump change. I mean, that is a big – he has started a movement, for better or for worse. There's such great dissatisfaction out there that the thought of him just disappearing – I mean, just, you know, all this time, whenever there's a controversy, journalists would say, well, maybe he's going to drop out of the race. Oh, come on. He's not going to drop out of the race, and he's not going away quietly anytime soon.
Okay. That's the word. Trump is not going away. If you have a question for Ken Rudin.
Neither is Ken Rudin, by the way. I'm not going away either.
Yay. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And that reminds me, I do have an email to read. First, I want to say thanks to Jennifer Altman in Westerville and Joseph Shute in Columbus for your support. 12 pledges to go in just about 17 minutes. 12 pledges to go before the end of the hour. 1-866-897-9678. And thanks to Robert Tannehill in Columbus for your pledge of support. He writes, public broadcasting plays a key role in my life. I highly value the thoughtful and informative news and analysis of the world around me. I love the lack of advertising. WOSU and PBS keep me in the loop. Great testimonial, Robert. Thank you so much for your support. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Now let's turn to another caller. Stephen in Newark, you're on the air. Hi, Stephen.
Hi. It seems to me that one of the many ways that this election is unusual is that it may be the case that it's going to be decided by people who are voting against a candidate rather than for it. I was wondering if you thought that that was true, and if so, if that has any ramifications for the future.
I think Stephen is right. I think that, you know, we were talking about what kind of a turnout we can expect, that whether maybe so many voters are so disgusted they stay home, or they're so outraged at Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump that they come out and vote. So I kind of think that even though the Trump and Clinton approval numbers are so low, the lowest in history, I think there's a very strong likelihood that many voters will come out because they want to stop Clinton or they want to stop Trump.
Thanks a lot, Stephen. A lot of people talk about the Supreme Court. They're very hyper aware of that this year. Do you think that's because of Justice Scalia's untimely death or what?
Well, I mean, not only, yeah, absolutely. I mean, not only is Scalia's untimely death, but the fact is the court is now deadlocked at 4-4 between liberal justices and conservative justices. And we, you know, I remember in 2000, Al Gore, one of Al Gore's campaign buttons and slogans was it's the Supreme Court, stupid. Hmm. I mean, obviously it was very important then, and as it turned out, it was kind of prophetic given the fact that the Supreme Court may have decided the 2000 election. But when you have it split down the middle with so many things at stake, including choice and gay marriages and, you know, issues that you know, just that span the spectrum, Supreme Court and the kind of justice that either a Trump or a Clinton would name should be one of the key issues. And I think, it's not up there with jobs and economic security, but it's out there and it will make a difference. Yes.
Cynthia, oops, sorry. Cynthia in Hilliard, you're on the air. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, Ann. Thanks so much for taking my call.
You
and
bet.
Ken, I miss hearing you every week on Neil's show way back when.
Thank you.
Anyway, I just read something this morning and in Facebook. It was an article, and I hadn't heard this before. Evan McMullen, that independent candidate out of Utah, this particular article was saying that supposedly he's a really good friend of Harry Reid's, and he's a plant for the Hillary Clinton campaign. What do you know about that?
Wow, that's the first I've ever heard of. Cynthia, let me just tell you one thing, that Neil Conan is on my Political Junkie podcast the first of every month. Matter of fact, I'm in Sonoma, California right now with Neil to do an event tonight. But having said that, I know Evan McMullen is really one of those so-called Republicans who are trying to be an alternative to Donald Trump running as an independent. This is the first I've heard that he has a relationship or a friendship with Harry Reid and the Democrats. That's interesting, but I have no comment because that's the first I've heard of this.
Okay,
thank you.
Yep, Cynthia, what do you make of Evan McMullen?
Well, of course he's not going to make a difference, but let's just say that given the Mormon population in Utah is just so opposed to Donald Trump, by and large, I mean, that's a generality. I don't mean to do that, but that seems what to be the polls. Evan McMullen is a Ralph Nader kind of candidate who will pull from one candidate. Look, Ralph Nader got 1.7%, 1.9% of the vote in Florida. That's all he got, 1.9%. But that 97,000 votes he got in Florida in 2000 perhaps doomed Al Gore in that race. So Evan McMullen, well, of course, he's not going to be president, but if he pulls enough Republican votes in, say, states like Utah, or if Gary Johnson pulls votes away from Trump in Utah, now, not that five electoral votes is going to make a difference, but in a closer race, it could. So I kind of think that ultimately what a third party does anyway is not so much have a chance of winning, but to pull from the candidate they really dislike the most.
Thanks to Elizabeth Lawless in Columbus, who increased her monthly contribution. That's an option for those of you out there who are sustainers. We appreciate that sustained giving. It really makes a difference in our bottom line. It helps us plan better. If you want to increase that, you certainly can. Go to 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News, and it is our membership drive. If in-depth conversations with a local perspective are important to you, then this is the perfect time to become a member. Think about how much you rely on 89.7 NPR News for coverage of Columbus and Central Ohio and the world, and then decide to support that with a few dollars a month. And when you make a gift of $9 a month as a sustainer, you can get 12 months of an all-access pass to the New York Times online crossword puzzles. Thanks to Andrea Zastro in Washington Courthouse for your support. 10 pledges to go and just about 12 minutes left. Now just about 11 minutes left. 1-866-897-9678. Just 10 pledges to go. I want to make that goal. Help me help you. bring you the programming that you listen to every day that you've come to rely on. And these special events, such as today with Ken Rudin, veteran political journalist, host of Ken Rudin's Political Junkie podcast. You can still hear Neil Conan with Ken once a month. It's a reliable go-to place for your political news. We have a link to his website on our website at WOSU.org/allsides because that's what we do. When we bring you a program, when we bring you these interesting conversations, we supplement it with links to what we're reading about it, links to the people that we're talking to. It's a full It's the whole deal. It's the whole deal when you listen to 89.7 NPR News. Special features, well, give what you can. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. And we appreciate your support. Turning back to that issue of minor parties, Ed in Baltimore, you're on the air with Ken Rudin.
Yes. Yeah, going back to the one caller talking about the minor parties, it seems to me that the problem with the minor parties is that they're such a narrow political focus that they're never going to get a base. I mean, the Green Party seems to view everything in the world from the aspect of ecology, and the Libertarians can't quite figure out exactly whether they're not quite Republican, not quite Democrats, but we don't like either. So does Ken see any possibility that any minor party is ever going to make a major impact on the election? I mean major as in winning more than just a congressional seat or taking votes away from a major political party. And I'll listen off the air.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ed.
That's a great question. I mean, obviously, you know, unless you, when you have a national figure like a George Wallace or a Ross Perot, who either has money or national appeal and support, then they'll carry states. But you know, no Libertarian candidate in history has ever gotten more than 1% of the vote. I suspect that the only way for a third party candidate to make a difference, is to really start at the grassroots, start at the city council, start at the state legislature, and don't wait for a presidential election to come along and say and put forward a Jill Stein or a Gary Johnson and then hope they'll win support. It's, if you want to build a third party, if you're dissatisfied with the two major parties, you start it on November 9th. Start it right now, and then you have an opportunity to make a difference in 2018 or the next presidential race in 2020.
I mean, say what you will, but a lot of the change in the Republican Party has been brought about at the very local, even the precinct level.
That's true. And you could also make the case that, I mean, you talk about Jill Stein and maybe she only talks about ecology and certain environmental issues and things like that. But a lot, I don't know if the word is a lot, but you think of what Bernie Sanders and his supporters did to the Democratic Party during this whole the primary system, moving it away from corporate elite and the corporate control and big money in politics. Well, Hillary Clinton, maybe she came over kicking and screaming, but she came over to that position because of that vibrancy and that fervor that Bernie Sanders and his supporters did to the Democratic Party. And maybe, you know, if Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump or anybody lets their supporters down, the grassroots down, maybe you take what you had in the early primary stuff like what Bernie Sanders was talking about, and you build on that. That's certainly possible, but again, it doesn't happen anymore. It rarely happens, and maybe it should.
Thanks to Robert Travis in Pickerington and also Nancy Brower in Columbus for your support. We have about 7 minutes left in the hour and 8 more pledges to go. I know we can make it. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Remember, if you've never pledged before and you don't quite know what it means and what it involves, I'll tell you, it takes just about 2 minutes. It's amazingly fast, and you can get right back to listening to the program. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Public radio is community radio. That's why 89.7 NPR News brings you a show like this. all sides works hard to bring you shows every day that capture the news, the politics, and cultural interests of our unique region. This powerful service helps you understand Central Ohio just a bit more with stories that impact your life, your work, and your family, but it's powered by you. Please join us with, please join in with your radio station and your local talk show. Make 89.7 NPR News. Donation now, 1-866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. A lot of people tell me that they started listening to 89.7 when they moved to Columbus because they wanted to learn more about their community. They already know that public radio is how to learn more about your community. They tune to their local station as soon as they move here, and lo and behold, they're devotees, months, years later, because they continue to learn more. 1-866-897-9678. Thanks to you to Darcy Predieri in Blacklick for your pledge. That means we have just 7 to go and 5 minutes to go. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Ken Rudin, last week, President Obama campaigned in Ohio, and his speech in Columbus was noted by some as one of his best ever. He called out the Trump camp, but said that Trump isn't the origin of the problem with the Republican Party. He's a symptom.
Well, I mean, obviously, if you're President Obama and your supporters of President Obama, you've known that from the beginning, from the inception of the Tea Party in 2009, that their goal has been to stop and frustrate Obama and the Democrats at every opportunity. So obviously, when you had somebody yelling out birther claims against the President of the United States for the last 4 years, 5 years, when you have a Republican majority, my complaint is not with the Republican Party about this, but it was clear that if you're Obama, you know that a lot of the anger, a lot of the mistrust, the distrust about government in general started well before Trump announced his candidacy in June of 2015. It could have been the Tea Party in 2009. It could have even been longer. But as you know, one of the reasons President Obama does not have the record he wishes he had is because he has not had a Republican Congress to go along with him. Now, of course, Republicans will argue that the reason Obama doesn't have a better record is because Obama is my way or the highway, mm-hmm. in their feeling. So neither side trust each other, and of course Obama just sees Trump as some symptom of what's been wrong with the Republican Party for quite some time.
So what do you think about the fallout down ticket?
Well, that's a great question. I hate the fact that we all have so little minutes to talk about this, but let's just make the argument. Who knows? I've never seen anybody this far down in the polls to come back with 3 weeks to go to win the election. Of course, the polls show different things. Hillary Clinton is up 11 points in the NBC poll, but she's only up 4 points in the ABC News poll. So there's obviously movement out there. But having said that, there are a lot of Republicans who said, look, Hillary Clinton is going to win this election. She will be the next president. And what we've got to do is not give her a rubber stamp Congress. And so many of the Republicans, the Bush family, the Koch brothers, others are saying that even if we lose the presidency, we cannot lose the Senate and the House. And yet the Senate is in jeopardy in some part because of Trump's controversies. I know that during the Strickland-Portman debate, Senate debate in Ohio the other day, one of Strickland's best arguments, Ted Strickland's best arguments, or at least what he thinks is his best argument, is that Portman was too late in denouncing Trump. And you're seeing Republicans around the country, Kelly Ayotte in New Hampshire, Pat Toomey in Pennsylvania, basically the argument against them is that where do you stand on Donald Trump? And so, it's very possible that you could have a down ticket effect. But right now I'm seeing more and more Republicans coming home to defend their party, at least when it comes to House and Senate seats.
Thanks to Nancy Luddewise in Columbus for your support. Also, Lucia Kaiser in Columbus for your pledge. 5 to go now in just 2 minutes. 1-866-897-9678. 1-866-897-9678. Pick up the phone and show your support. Save my bacon this hour. I need 5 more pledges to meet my goal, my magical goal of 15 more this hour at that halfway point. 1-866-897-9678. 877-867-9678. We still have 2 minutes to go. You can do it. I don't want to take time away from talking with Ken Rudin. I want to talk to him more, too. But that's what we're here for today. That's why Ken's joined us today. It's a special event. Give us a call. Tell us that it matters to you. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. We have 2 minutes to go and 5 pledges to go. Please be one of those people that picks up the phone and makes that call right now and just gives what you can. Give what you can. Give what you can afford. No one wants you to overextend yourself, but get started and show your support. Become a new member. It's a great feeling. You're gonna join the club. You're already listening. Now you can join. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Ken, any predictions about anything that I haven't asked about? Because I want to know what you think about everything. And it's not a lot of time to talk to you this hour. But what are you expecting?
Wow, you know something, in a year that so much has been so surreal and unexpected, it's hard to say what you expect. Like somebody says, what do you expect in Wednesday's debate?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't even talked about that. Exactly, but I mean, you know, Donald Trump says all shackles are off. My God, you mean he's been shackled so far? But I think the real thing to watch, and I don't even have a prediction anymore, is watch the battle for the Senate. I think Ohio may not be as close as Democrats would like. I think Portman wins it, but take a look. The Democrats need 4 seats to pick up the Senate. Right now, it looks like they take 2 in Illinois and Wisconsin, and there are so many other states up for grabs. That's really the thing to watch, because even if you're a Republican and you don't want Hillary, and you accept the fact that Hillary Clinton may win, the Senate and House are crucial.
Ken Rudin, thank you so much. It's been great talking to you.
I love Ann Fisher. I love WOSU. Thank you so much.
Ken Rudin, veteran political journalist, host of Ken Rudin's Political Junkie podcast. Thanks to Daniel McEwen and Lewis Center. Thanks to everybody who showed their support. There's still time. 1-866-897-9678. This is listener supported, WOSU-FM and HD1 Columbus. And
live from NPR News.